The following podcast is brought to you by Astro Panda Productions. For more information or to find other great shows, visit astropandaproductions.com or visit the Astro Panda Productions page on blogtalkradio.com.
Welcome to Geekish Cast, week of October 16th, 2018. I am your host, Jeremy Vilmer. Joining us this week is the most requested returning guest, Paul Vieira. What's happening, Paul?
What's up, guys?
And the second most requested guest, Joe Slepsky. What's happening?
I can't handle the accolades. I can't handle it. Too much.
Well, you're still in the top two. How bad?
No, I love it. I'm not complaining. I'm saying I got people on the street asking about me.
Yeah, exactly.
Always.
Yeah, bill collectors.
I didn't want to point anybody out, but yeah, that was one of them. Joe, what's happening on Joe on Joe this week?
Well, this week is a Joe on Joe Illustrated week. Tomorrow we're going to be dropping Joe on Joe Illustrated issue number 40, where I look at G.I. Joe number 40. It's got that wonderful Mike Zeck cover with Roadblock and his Mod Deuce staring you down the face and just pumping hot lead into Cobra butt.
Nice.
Yeah. Good.
Sounds a little invasive in a way.
Well,
though.
You know, it's called Joe on Joe, you know. No,
what
it's great.
Expect?
It's great. I love it. It's a great issue. It's the one where Cobra tricks the Joes into triggering the fault line just south of New Orleans, which then eventually raises Cobra Island.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's the introduction of Shipwreck, which is always exciting.
Very That's cool. A lot going on for one story.
Oh, man,
that is a
I'll
lot
tell you
going
what,
on.
Those G.I. Joe books, there was no dust on them, man. No moss on that stone. They rolled. There was a lot of stuff always happening in every issue.
You are correct. I do remember that. There was always something happening. It did not hold its ground very often.
Yeah.
It just kind of rolled and rolled.
Yeah, you know, Larry Hama always talked about, he has said so many times that he never planned what to do from issue to issue. He would just sit down and, you know, in the writer's parlance, he would say, let the characters take me. But, it like, even plot point stuff, he very rarely planned ahead. Like, he would sit down and go, okay, this is where this story's at. What's going to happen this month? And it's funny because it's evidenced in this issue, because in the previous issue, he has Duke in a location in the story that he's in a different location in the start of this issue, and then they quickly have to redraw it and have it be Hawk later in the story when it obviously was not Hawk. But whatever, you know, like you just roll with it month to month.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Sometimes continuity gets in the way, I guess.
Yeah. Really? Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Paul, what's going on with you this week?
Oh, nothing much. Just same old, man. Just doing the whole dad thing.
Yeah. Any new toys, any new statues?
No, I got two emails from Sideshow saying that they were delayed, so I got to wait another couple months for my swamp thing to come in.
That is a bummer. So, well, Paul, while we're talking to you, what are you geeking out about this week?
I am geeking out. I know it's like super old, but I'm geeking out about, I finally bought The Witcher 3, the complete edition for my PS4, and I've been playing that. And it's consuming my life. Like my son goes to bed and I'm like, I'll just hop on and play a quick 30 minutes, you know, an hour before I go to bed. Next thing I know, it's like the sun's coming up. I'm like, son of a bitch, I gotta get my kid ready for school. Just no quick playing that game. I just love it. It's great. That's great. So that's what I'm geeking out about right now.
That's great. Joe, what are you geeking about?
I'm geeking out
about
I'm geeking out about Friday the 13th this week. I've been watching. It's weird. It's in preparation. It's my excitement for Halloween, the movie. But I decided to watch the Friday the 13th movies because I haven't really watched them all in a good number of years. And so I'm really watching them with a kind of a critical eye. And I'm loving it. Loving it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite Jason? Alive Jason or zombie Jason?
So far I'm only up to part three. So he just got he just got the hockey mask, and there's really no supernatural aspect to it. That's what I'm actually fascinated with, that they got three movies in before it really took on any kind of supernatural boogeyman. It's just, he's just a dude with a learning disability in the woods for three whole movies.
Yes. Yeah. Well, for two.
In the first movie he was in the lake. Mm-hmm. He had a disability in the lake.
But I
was shocked at how much they showed his face in part three.
Quite a bit, and
like how the girl was recounting, 2 years ago I came out here and I was attacked by a strange man, so why are you coming back
back
to face what demon exactly?
here is the thing that's always blown me away about that. To see her boyfriend Rick, who's a really rapey son of a bitch.
It's crazy, but it's funny. And then you like the flashback of when Jason attacked her 2 years ago. You know, I don't know how she got away 2 years ago, but that flashback's, it's so comical. I was watching it, and again, haven't seen it in years. I completely forgot what it was. I was like, oh, that can't be Jason. That's going to be a twist. It's going to be like old man McGillicuddy that attacked her. Oh, no, that was Jason.
Nope. Jason.
Oh, no, it absolutely was. So the idea was part three was going to be a direct sequel to two, and they were going to follow Jenny. Oh. But whatever fell apart. So they decided to give Chris a backstory that involved Jason.
Interesting. And
yeah.
So it was supposed to be like Jason followed her to a different, because it was also not, it wasn't Camp, not Camp Blood, Crystal Lake. It wasn't Crystal Lake either, right?
It was not. It was like the other side of the lake, or however they explained it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was somewhere else a little bit further away.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So they decided to go with a final girl that had a history with him. Now, let me ask you this. Out of the first three movies, what three movies all had the hottest girls in it? I would say part three.
Part three is pretty good. Yeah, I think you might be right there. Because
I can't even remember. I need to go back and watch those again because they all blur together in my brain. It's been so long.
Well, yeah, because they're all so boilerplate. But every time I go... Part three is kind of a shitty movie. It actually has some of my favorite beats, but every time I watch part three, I'm like, oh shit, that girl's prettier than I thought. Oh my God, she's pretty too.
Yeah, they really are. You know, part two, I think part two had my favorite, talking about beats. I think her name was Vicky, the girl who fell for the guy in the wheelchair.
Oh yeah.
That was a lovely scene. Like it was really,
it
was great. And I was like, oh, I don't remember this being so well done in, you know, a Friday the 13th movie. It was really nice. And then of course he gets
wow. And then it all fell apart rather quickly.
And then it's no longer lovely.
Look, one of my problems with the Friday movies, part two is my favorite. Most Friday fans overlook part two and just go, well, it was just a rip off of part one. I think some of the best character moments were actually in part two.
Yeah.
I think Jenny was the best final girl. I think some of the strongest relationships were in part two. Mm-hmm. And if they could only show us what happened to Paul, I think it would stand out as a top movie of the slasher film genre.
Now, which one was Paul?
Paul was Jenny's boyfriend. And the actor quit by the end, so they just had to get rid of him.
So how did they kill him off? Or they didn't? Or what happened?
They didn't really show it. You just have Jenny being wheeled away going, where's Paul? Where's Paul?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she was at the guy she was at the bar with.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it the guy who stayed late at the bar, or the other guy?
No, the blonde guy who was kind of like shown as her romantic interest.
Yeah, yeah. He just disappears from the movie. You're right. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It appears he's killed. And then she goes to Jason's shack, and then he comes back and rescues her.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And then when she wakes up after the window scare, we don't know what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It leaves a lot of
room. Yeah. Well, the window scare, I read that as like the ending of the first one being in her head.
You're actually supposed to.
Yeah.
You're actually supposed to. That was a nightmare jump.
Right.
Because the dog should have been dead. Number of other things. Blah, blah, blah.
Plus they lived. You know, like, because when he comes through that window, he grabs her. Like, she's not getting away from him.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I am glad to hear you are watching those. I am a huge fan. One of my friends who has done an interview here, I'm going to forget his name now, Scott Phillips, wrote a screenplay where it was going to be basically Penn and Teller versus Jason Voorhees.
Yes.
Which was going to be his Abbott and Costello beat Dracula or the Wolfman or whatever. And then as soon as he pitched the movie, they kicked him out of the room. So it didn't go any further than that.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, that would have been amazing. As far as me, what am I geeking out about this week? My new microphone. I got a new microphone, but I'm not in a sound treated room, so you can't tell yet. And then, of course, we ran into actual problems recording today. So fuck this microphone.
I don't think it's the microphone's fault. Come on.
No, probably not. It's probably not. But anyways, Paul, you set up this week's venue. What do we got for news?
What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. So Netflix canceled Iron Fist after 2 seasons. I don't know if it's canceled or just decided not to make a third season. I don't know what you call it. But so this is, I guess, the first time one of the Marvel shows, they're like, all right, yeah, we're done with it. But I think they kind of did the same thing with Defenders, or they're just not – I don't know if they're going to make a Defenders season 2, but – I'm not even done with the second season of Iron Fist. I could only like handle one episode at a time before I'm like, I need to just watch this.
Paul, are you going to watch the whole thing, or are you just going to go episode by episode until you get sick?
I'm just going to go episode and episode until I finally finish one day. It's really bad.
You know what they should do? You know what they should do now that it's kind of in the can? They should just take the first season, edit the shit out of it, and cut it down to like 3 good episodes. And I don't even know what they would cut out, but cut out everything terrible and get 3 good episodes out of it. Call it a prequel to season 2. And I haven't seen season 2 yet, but then just say, hey, this is what happened previously in Iron Fist, and then go with Iron Fist season 2 and move. And just then that's what they show.
It's just, gosh, it just drives me crazy that the dude that's supposed to be like the most badass fighter on the planet is constantly getting his ass kicked. It just drives me nuts.
Well, he also doesn't look like he could, you know, break a twig.
No, not at all. The other characters are way more interesting than he is. That drives me crazy.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe if he had shown up for his martial arts training, which the word on the street was that he did not, maybe they wouldn't be in this predicament.
Oh, really? I thought the second season.
Maybe he did for second season. He may have for second season, but the reason, yeah. I mean, it got canceled before anyone had a chance to watch second season because the first season was so bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anybody seen the second season?
No, I actually never intended to watch it. I never finished the first season. No. Again, I've seen better fight choreography in a gerbil cage.
At Richard Gere's house?
Well, not at his house, but at a party I was at one time, yeah.
I mean, they're going to do season 3 of Luke Cage, I guess.
Well, that's,
and Danny will probably show up.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's a character in that universe. It's intrinsically tied to it. And it's not like his sets were super elaborate, you know. They film on location for most of the stuff. So it's just fold his character into the other stuff. Not that they're probably going to do another Defenders, but if they did, he would just be a part of that. Yeah. Make Power Man and Iron Fist, call it a day. Look at the history of the Iron Fist comic books. It's not like he has a rich tradition of solo series. He gets a series. People love it for a little while. Then it gets canceled.
The Brubaker one's the one that everybody talks about.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic read, yeah. You know, but eventually it gets canceled. You know, that's...
Yeah.
There's not... Iron Fist does not have a rich publishing history.
That is true. So I'm not surprised by this, but... You know, I wonder how much more they're going to make. How many episodes Netflix has bought from Marvel before the streaming...
Yeah, right.
The Disney stream comes out, so it's interesting. But yeah, Daredevil comes out in a couple of days, and I'm super excited for that.
Yeah,
I'd be interested. This has been a really uneven effort, I think, overall, the Netflix series, because, like, you get a great one, and you get a good one, or a shitty one, and then you get a great one again. It's been a really unbalanced effort. I cannot
wait for Punisher season 2. That is going to be amazing. Because the first season was great, and I think they know what they're doing with that one. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, and yet I think Jessica Jones season 1 was fantastic. Season 2 was a bowl of oatmeal with no flavoring added.
Yeah. No. Yes, it was so boring. The first one was excellent, though.
Oh, it was gripping. You couldn't stop watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But then season 2 is just like, here's the story we've all seen done better somewhere else.
Yeah, I have mommy issues. Like, I don't care.
Like, I haven't seen season 2 yet. Is that what it was about, mommy issues?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was poorly done mommy issues.
Yeah.
I really am okay. So with me, storytelling is always about cutting dead weight.
Yeah.
So Iron Fist season 1 was bad enough that most of us weren't going to watch season 2, I believe.
Yeah.
So the actor that did it was okay. And with choreography work, he could be believable. Fine. There doesn't need to be an Iron Fist show, right? Am I right or wrong?
There does not need to be an Iron Fist show.
Absolutely. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can always just fold them over into one of the other shows as a background guy or a whoever. Honestly, I bet you could replace the actor and 50% of us wouldn't notice.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a shitty, gets.
Yeah, kind of shitty thing to say, but just go ahead, roll them over into something else. If you do another teen movie, fine. If you do another whatever kind of thing, fine. Keep them around. The actor himself wasn't terrible, but apparently didn't like to do kung fu. All right, fine. Fuck it. We don't need him, right?
Yeah.
Right. That's kind of the way I took it.
Mm-hmm.
He looked bored the whole time, and he also looked like a skateboarding douchebag shithead that none of us wanted to hang out with.
Yeah. It was hard to read for in that show.
Yeah. Well, it was a thing. I just remembered that episode. He's like, I used to skateboard in here, and I'm like, in a fucking office lobby, you fuckhead. And okay. All right. Fine.
That's not where you skateboarded when you were.
No, because guys like me would have been shot. So yeah. But anyhow, anything else? Do you guys have anything else? What are your thoughts on the Netflix Marvel series? Is the Marvel streaming universe gonna shit on this? What do you think?
Yeah, I think this universe has a finite life to it. You know, like anything. I think it's they're gonna let the contracts run. It'll be a good 5 years, I think, before it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it depends on how good the Punisher is if they do Moon Knight and all that stuff.
Oh, I can't wait to see a Moon Knight series.
That would be awesome.
I don't even care where they do it. I just wanna see it. Oh, speaking of direct to streaming, either one of you guys watch Titans?
Not yet.
Well, I haven't seen it yet.
I wish you had. I did.
I have the service.
Okay, but Paul, I watched it quite drunk at Steve's house Friday night.
Yeah.
We drank 48 beers that night, he and I.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I don't know how we lived through it.
Yeah.
But the one question I had at 4:20 a.m., what was the plot of that show? And he's like, I don't think there was a plot. So I'm going to have to give it a couple episodes.
Yeah, I need to get to streaming. I haven't pulled the trigger on the streaming yet, the service, but I want to.
I might give it 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
Okay. I really want to watch Swamp Thing.
Well, that's... I might even wait for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and nothing about the Titan show really made me want to say, oh, I want to watch that. Like, so, unfortunately...
But I can't. Okay, just
to see the train wreck.
So just for Joe's reference, I can tell you that the fuck Batman reference makes a little more sense in the show.
Okay,
it makes a little more. Well, let me put it this way: Robin drops in on a big gang scene, mm-hmm. and they're all like, "Where's Batman?" And then he beats the shit out of them all and goes, "Fuck Batman," and walks out.
No, I know that's what that was absolutely. That's not a surprise. That was totally in context from the commercial they gave us.
Yeah,
that's not a surprise at all.
A little bit because they kind of just tried to make it say like, oh, Robin hates Batman. That wasn't it.
I read it exactly like that, and it's still like really. Yeah, we'll see. I haven't watched it, so I don't want to be a dick. I don't want to be a dick on it.
Now that being said. They cursed more. They use cursing more casually than I do, which is saying something. Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah,
because I would imagine none of them would curse that often.
Oh, but they do.
Wow. I mean, come on. Starfire's known for her potty mouth across the galaxy.
That's one they're gonna have to figure out what they're doing with before I'm even gonna be okay with what they're doing.
I mean, does she just look like a prostitute the entire time?
She was.
See, that's weird.
Wait, she looked like it or she was it? Hold on.
She was it.
She was a prostitute.
Wait a minute.
That's the way
Wait a minute. Now in the comics, she was a slave. And what are you saying that she was a space prostitute or she was a space in sexual slavery?
She's not an alien?
Well, what I am thinking, and again, we haven't seen what's going on. I think she wakes up in somebody else's body is what I think is going on.
Oh, God.
But there appears to be sex for pay or some kind of...
Oh, God. All right. I will watch this before we record next. I'm sorry for not having done so. I will do this.
Yeah.
This is just getting me angry, and I don't want to talk about it if we haven't seen it. So let's move on.
Yeah. Because I need to watch it again. Because again, I was like 48 beers.
Yeah, I really remember.
Yeah. But the way I came away from it was like there was no story
you're the one who woke up in someone else's bed and you're the prostitute. You were just drunk and got it confused with Titans.
You didn't watch that show at all. you were just having sex for money and cursing Batman.
You just sold your ass on the street.
You know what? That makes it more important that you guys watch it and get back to me. Okay.
Watching it, I'm like, is that Jeremy on Titan selling his body?
Holy shit.
Wow.
He's wearing a purple dress and an orange wig. What the hell is going on here? All right. Marvel reveals new Guardians of the Galaxy lineup. Joe, why don't you give us a rundown on that?
Well, a new team of intergalactic superheroes will soon be traversing the cosmos. Marvel finally unveiled its roster with writer Donny Cates, who is hot as the ghostwriter that he wrote, and artist Jeff Shaw. They're the creative team on it. And let's see, it's going to include Groot, Moondragon, Nova, Silver Surfer. Do we know which version of Nova? Cosmic Ghost Rider, Adam Warlock, Beta Ray Bill, Darkhawk, Phyla Vell, Gladiator, and Star-Lord. It is stacked. It's reminiscent to me of the Annihilators. The Annihilators, exactly right. Yeah, it's exactly
very
right.
Very reminiscent of that,
Yep.
This team is super stacked.
So that's exciting.
I'm imagining it's going to be a senior writer, Rich Ryder. I mean, because he's around, right? and it looked like him on the cover of the picture, and that's all.
Did it?
So I'm super stoked for this book.
Thanos, right? Thanos.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You enjoyed that, right? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
By all accounts, it's really good.
In this play, in this series. So, have you been reading the new Wars?
Infinity Wars, yes, I am.
Yeah, and so they had that Thanos one shot.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of it.
Yep.
This takes place like after that with the whole last will and testament of Thanos.
Got it.
So, because I was like, okay, they had this issue, this thing happened, and then they went right back to what was going on with the rest of the storyline. I was like, what the hell happened with Thanos? You know, and the whole whale thing. And now when this came out, I was like, okay, that makes sense. They're going to spin it off outside of the Infinity Wars series. So I'm super looking forward to this. Donny Cates is everything he's writing right now is just,
people really, really love his stuff. Yeah. He wrote the Thanos one. I enjoyed that. I've not read his Cosmic Ghost Rider.
So
apparently it's great. Yeah.
It's so good. He created the most ridiculous character ever.
Right.
Frank Castle becomes the Ghost Rider and the Herald of Galactus.
Like the 90s call. They want everything back.
Yeah. And it works. That's the best part. Like, how in the hell did this work?
Did you read Space Punisher?
Space Punisher?
Yeah. I think Frank Thierry wrote it a few years ago, maybe like 8 years ago. Yeah, it was a 4 or 5 issue miniseries, and it was Punisher in space with superpowers. It was crazy.
Well, this is probably very reminiscent to that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, and it's good that Guardians gets a little bit change because it's been the same team for quite some time.
Yeah, and ultimately, I was disappointed in the Bendis run myself. Like, I didn't. It just didn't pop for me. It didn't do anything for me.
I agree. I mean, I was excited when he started writing it because it's almost been this. I generally like his stuff, but I was like, "Well."
Well, they're the team that has suffered the most from popularity, so mm-hmm. everyone wants them to show up in all their adventures and the crossovers and mini, and all this stuff. And it's like just, mm-hmm. they don't really have, because they weren't really a team before the movie. They don't. I mean, they were, but they weren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a rich history to draw on. So when I read them, they just feel like a propped up movie promotion characters. I don't mean that in a totally negative way, because I really love the movies and I've enjoyed the books, but it just, they feel like they're not really having their own adventures.
Yes. Yeah. And they just keep like latching onto everybody else's adventures. I think I like it when Marvel has, Marvel Earth and that stuff that's going on. And I like the Marvel Cosmic.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have like the, Silver Surfer shows up and Adam Warlock and they're kind of like completely separate and they're all doing their own thing, like almost two separate universes. Totally. But
Annihilation was great. And I know that was a long time ago now, but.
I mean, that was one of the greatest like stories, maxi series, if you want to call it.
Yeah.
That Marvel's ever done, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved it. And that's kind of where Guardians of the Galaxy came from, really.
Yeah. Oh,
with Abnett and Lanning writing them,
Yeah, totally is. It's better, in my opinion, it's a better crossover than Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, because it's more modern and it's got bigger. I mean, Infinity Gauntlet's 6 issues or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's just
great.
It's just,
I think, more nostalgia.
Yeah, it's got more scope to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Used... In my job as Gamefly social media today, I used someone said something negative to us, and I said something like, "That's Thanos level mean."
That's pretty up there.
Yeah.
It's like a Thanos level mean.
Yeah, because it was cruel. Like, what they said was pretty cruel, and I was like, "Come on, dude!" And it got a few likes. People got it.
Word.
All right. So this leads me to our next story, which is actually something we brought up, 2 or 3 episodes ago,
yeah,
Paul, do you remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember.
We talked about it. We begged for it. We ended up in a little bit different line.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted Legion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But James Gunn is apparently set to at least write, possibly direct, Suicide Squad 2.
Even suicidier.
Anybody want to say something?
I can't,
positive or I negative?
I cannot wait for this. I think it's going to be awesome. I am still very upset with Marvel. I hope Bautista quits Marvel and goes, and I hope he plays Bane.
That's the role everybody wants to
play. I hope Michael Rooker comes in and plays Captain Boomerang, and Jai Courtney can play Boomerang's son or go scratch and just reboot it. But I want Michael Rooker to be Captain Boomerang. 100% yes.
I could not.
I hadn't thought about Michael Rooker as Captain Boomerang.
Well, you know he does everything with James Gunn, so there's gonna be a role for Rooker. Yeah. So yes, bring him in as the old, and you actually could easily do it in continuity with Jai Courtney, just be his dad, you know, and just have his dad show up. And then what does James Gunn do? But he writes daddy issues movies, right?
Yeah.
So that's perfect.
No, you're absolutely right. That would work quite nicely. So as far as Suicide Squad, James Gunn, plus or minus, either one of you see a big, well, let's go. Is there a negative you see with that? First off,
nothing jumps to mind because I probably wasn't even going to watch the second Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah. I mean, the first one as it is now, garbage. So anything would have been an upgrade. And the fact that it's the guy who made my probably second favorite Marvel movie, that's amazing. I'm so in.
Yeah, I don't know how you lose on this. First off, I think the three of us deserve a big pat on the back, right? Come on. All three of us.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We're amazing.
This is our idea.
Yeah. And listen, I'm going to throw this out there. Amongst my group, as soon as I saw it online, I was out there with Bautista as Bane. That was the first person that I saw that was saying it. And I don't know how to. Yeah. I don't really know how to check Twitter, but I tweeted it immediately as soon as I heard the news, and then a few hours later, I saw people talking it. But
I saw it immediately. Then I saw somebody go like, "Well, shouldn't a Latino play that?"
Yeah.
Okay, maybe, but either his mom or his dad was Filipino, which is half Latino, right?
I don't care. He's perfect for Bane. I don't care. If you want to talk about representation, that's what El Diablo, the fire guy, you know what I mean? Like that's a character who's been played by Jeep Swenson and, what's his name from, Dark Knight Rises,
Tom Hardy,
you know, like, I don't care.
Tom Hardy, I'm pretty sure is 5'3".
Yeah. He's a very tiny man.
Yeah.
He's a very small man, very short. He's a short man. I might say tiny or small.
We'll talk about him later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for this. I mean, there are some people I've seen in the DC camp. They're just like, oh, great. Here we go. They're going to make Suicide Squad, you know.
Good.
a funny, campy movie like Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, what the hell? Are you serious?
You mean instead of a boring fucking slog like you made?
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
So there's going to be those haters, but I cannot see anything but this being a positive DC.
And then those people went and they watched Venom for the third time.
Ugh, how could you possibly watch that? Okay, we'll talk about that later.
I couldn't even get through it for a first time. All right. Okay. Let's kind of bring this back down. Paul, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week was by Image Comics. It was a new book put out by Daniel Warren Johnson. If anybody read the Extremity series that I put out not too long ago, it's really good. It's called Murder Falcon. And it's just a completely ridiculous book, and I absolutely love it. It's just like this dude is kind of down and out, and he played in a metal band, and the band broke up, his girlfriend broke up, and then this fucking murder falcon, this crazy kind of like falcon with a metal arm, shows up to fight these monsters from another dimension, and he's powered by metal. So this guy Jake needs to just, you know, play shred the guitar, and it powers this Murder Falcon, and it, you know, gives him the energy and the power to beat these giant monsters, and it's just completely ridiculous. And I absolutely loved it. I loved it every single panel of it.
Sounds amazing.
It is completely amazing.
Strangely enough, Murder Falcon is what we used to call my grandmother.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Was she too powered by metal?
Well, more Merle Haggard, but yeah. I mean, essentially, yes.
Yeah. It was just a super fun book, and the art was great, so yeah.
Well, Paul, what book are you looking forward to next week?
Cemetery Beach, number 2, also by Image Comics. It's just Warren Ellis's new book. Warren Ellis is one of my all-time favorite writers, so I pretty much pick up anything he makes. And I'm just looking forward to the second issue. It's a really weird book, and you don't know what the hell's going on, so I can't really like explain it with any time. But that's typical Warren Ellis. But I just love reading all of his dialogue. Like, it's just super entertaining to me. So that's what I'm looking forward to next week.
If you could explain it, nobody would want to read it. If nobody wanted to read it, you couldn't explain it. Yeah, exactly. Joe, what was the last book you read?
Don't laugh at me. It was. Two issues, it wasn't even the full 4 issues, of the 4 issue adaptation of the film The Phantom Menace.
Oh, what?
I read issues number 2 and number 3 of the Lucas, because it was in my poll. It was in my box of books to read, and I grabbed a bunch of books today, and I took it to work with me, and I read it at lunch. And it was, I don't have 1, and I don't have 4, I don't think, or if I do, they're actually, I've read them before. And that was just in line to be read today, so that's what I read at lunch.
And overall, what is your impression?
Wizard! I'll tell you what, if they ever make a movie out of that film, I hope they make a lot of changes to it. If they ever make a movie out of that comic book. Because it strikes me as it might be a little boring if they made a movie out of that comic book.
I didn't expect that, and it damn near killed me. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. So you found it a little slow.
Yeah. There's a lot of exposition.
Especially in the middle there, too. Right? Yeah.
A little overbearing.
Yeah. The old guy with the funny goatee just kept talking about midichlorians a lot and over-explaining exactly what they mean and why this little kid who seems like a complete waste of space is supposed to be special.
I have no idea what midichlorians are, and I don't want to.
Yeah, no, don't care.
That's a spot in my brain that's missing.
Yep. Yeah, it's and the in comic form, the relationship between Anakin and Padme is no less creepy than it is on screen. especially when he walks away and flippantly goes, "Because I'm going to marry you one day," and he exits the scene.
I forgot all about that scene.
Ooh, awkward.
It's been a long.
Now, granted, if I was ever in a room with Natalie Portman and I exited, I would say it was exact.
Well, sure, but you know, you're not
as a 10-year-old. Like...
Yeah, you're not a 9-year-old boy.
Well, you know what? That 9-year-old boy had more balls than either one of you had.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
Fair.
That's the Darth Vader in him, I guess.
Yeah. I think maybe we have found the point of evil in his story.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Natalie Portman rejecting him? Are you saying Darth Vader was an incel?
No. No. Hold on. No, I would never accuse anybody of being an incel unless they self-labeled that way. Because that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. I can't get laid because I don't want to get laid because I am too good to get laid. And now I'm angry about it. And now I'm going to wear a tattoo that says I'm an incel.
It sounds like you've been reading my manifesto.
Sounds like my adolescence.
Yeah, right?
Well, yeah, Joe, I bought your book. That's what you were talking about, right?
Yeah. Incel for me, incel for you.
Yeah, exactly.
A study in duality.
Fan, Yeah, it's sure. You know what? I don't want to get into it.
I didn't mean to either. But it's my fault because I read Star Wars: The Phantom Menace issue number 2 and issue number 3.
And so, that's what Joe read last this week.
It's like we're stopping this now.
So guys, my intention was to go see Venom this weekend. My wife wanted to really go see it, and I said, "Hey, let's go to Monterey instead." And then she said yes, and then we went to Monterey. So what did I miss? What didn't I get?
First of all, that was a great decision.
Best decision you made. Best decision you made.
Yeah. So yeah. So what went wrong? What went right? Let's just tell me about Venom.
Do I have
to? In a spoiler-filled conversation over the next few minutes. Spoilers, everybody.
It's a bad movie. It's a bad movie. People are out there trying to say it's good. It's not good. If you like Venom, you have terrible taste in movies. You obviously ask for nothing from your films. Because Venom gives you nothing. It is a garbage movie.
Yeah, I struggle to think of one redeeming quality in that movie.
Yeah, like the CG actually looked okay. Great. I mean, fine. But
I like that you said okay.
Yeah, you take your main character who's only interesting in the comic books, and I am putting that out there. It is the only thing that he is interesting in the books. He makes a great villain because he is passionate about Spider-Man. Whether he wants to kill him or whether he wants to bond with him, either way, it's his fixation with Spider-Man that makes Venom interesting. I'm not talking about Agent Venom, by the way. Agent Venom, different, and I was a fan. But the regular Venom, that is what makes him interesting. Every Venom story without his fixation on Spider-Man has been boring and garbage, and that's what you get in this movie because there's no Spider-Man. He has no motivation. There is no good reason for us to care about anything about the character, and they don't. It's garbage. Yeah. And it's a piece. As soon as in the beginning, after the first act, when they go 6 months later, I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you. You reshooting, re-editing bastards. Fuck off with this 6 months later shit. Because then Tom Hardy was a completely different character for the rest of the movie. Do you agree, Paul?
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
They shot that movie. It was terrible. And then they tacked on the beginning and a bunch of stuff in the middle. And so he is playing a different Eddie Brock in different scenes of the movie.
Yes.
And at the end, why are you so different? Why does he hate you so much? Because I'm like you, Eddie. I'm a loser. Fuck you. You might as well be calling all your fans losers, too, quite frankly. I don't understand how anyone likes that movie.
Jeremy, it takes place in San Francisco.
Well,
that's
the opposite of New York.
Well, that's where they pulled the whole killing of the homeless people. They pulled that from that Venom Lethal Protector, which is by the way the butt of jokes. Lethal Protector has been the butt of jokes for years. It's not a good comic book series. The fact that first issue is now like $15 or $20 is embarrassing. That people are paying that. It is. Oh my God, it's so terrible. And okay, answer me this. So they go out of their way it's a movie that got worse as it went along. If they had stayed with what they obviously were reshoots, if they had stayed with those kind of motivations, I would have been okay with it. But they established in the beginning that they don't ever call them Clintars, which they've named them in the comic. Why don't you name them in the movie? The symbiotes, they can't survive in our atmosphere, which I like. So that means they have to bond to someone, which is cool. Yes. And then what makes Eddie special is he's one of the rare people that they can bond with successfully. Right. I like that. That's kind of neat. Right. Paul, would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
They don't just bond to anyone.
Right. So now fast forward to the very end of the movie and the head symbiote, Riot, I believe his name was.
Yes.
His plan is to steal the space shuttle, go into space, and get more aliens to bring them back to Earth. Why would you want to bring them back to an environment that's going to kill them and 3/4 or more of the people that you survive on?
Mm-hmm.
That is Signs level stupidity on the part of the aliens of let's attack an Earth that is 3/4 water and we're allergic to water.
Yeah. That is, and every time they possess some or, you know, take over a host and then leave that host, the host dies except for the girlfriend.
Right.
She's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's completely fine.
Right. Like, there's such stupidity in this movie, and it is as dumb as Signs was with the water. There is no reason why that alien would want to bring more of his people to planet Earth.
Whatsoever.
None. They would kill. They would all die before anything. Absolutely stupid. Absolutely stupid.
The dialogue was atrocious.
Yeah.
Some of the worst dialogue I've ever seen.
The fact that they kept that turd rolling downhill line in, and that's their stinger. That's how they end the movie. Oh my God. Fuck you. Take a fucking writing class. It's terrible.
Every joke fell flat.
Also, if you notice the scene before, so that scene, which is takes place in the convenience store, that is absolutely during the night, right? It's nighttime. It's dark out.
Yeah.
The scene immediately before it, when he's like, I'm hungry, let's go get some food. Yeah. Couldn't have been more middle of the day. They didn't even
bother. They were in there
bother.
For a long time.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. They didn't even bother to like shoot him walking at sunset or, you know, no, it goes from absolute bright middle of the day conversation to, oh no, we obviously shot this before. And oh, it's so fucking dumb.
And then one of the things I just cannot stand, like in some things they're kind of like, okay, I'll just let it go. But when the villain is just the exact same as the hero, just a bad version.
Yes, so fucking like, stupid.
I cannot stand, like really?
And when it's two CG Venoms fighting each other at the end, it's worse. It's like Michael Bay Transformers movies.
Yeah, I had no idea what the hell was going on.
No idea. They had to slow it down to that super slow-mo in order for us to get any idea of what was happening.
Otherwise,
so stupid. You know what they should have did? They tease it in the beginning with a name drop. They killed John Jameson right away. Why don't you make it Man-Wolf versus Venom?
That would have been 10 times better.
That would have been super dope. They come back. They got both a Venom symbiote and they've got a rock. And the rock turns him, or even if it's a symbiote, even if you want to make it a symbiote, but it makes him a werewolf or something.
Yeah.
And then you get this werewolf killing people all over the countryside, blah, 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 something like that.
Hold on. I have to stop everybody here. So they kept pieces of the Spider-Man Marvel universe, yet divorced others.
Yes.
Yes. They Jameson, like within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, they name check them. It's in like a news report. They're like, astronaut John Jameson was reported dead. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Really? Like, he's dead?
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, but is Peter Parker anywhere in this
world? There's not a single mention of any Spider-Man or Peter Parker or not anything remotely. I think the only thing I recognized was Jameson.
Yeah, that was it.
There was no Daily Bugle. There was no...
Nope.
You know, nothing. And they talked about him in New York working, but they didn't say the Bugle.
Oh, and in that first 20 minutes of the movie, he was a super capable reporter doing good things. He was like working for like Vice, you know, like doing like Vice kind of investigative stuff. And he fucked up one thing and all of a sudden he's a giant loser.
He's fired. Nobody likes him.
Yeah. So that's why he's a giant loser.
Sometimes that does happen though.
It was hard to
happen
swallow.
To me,
but you're not a giant loser. You didn't change who you were.
Sometimes I feel like that. I had one bad situation. Now I feel like shit. So I get how somebody falls in that kind of trap. So I am going to call a little bit of bullshit.
All right. Fair enough. However, you're not a narrative. If you're telling a narrative and you want us to like and bond with a guy, that's a bait and switch.
I am removing one penalty from your score. Yes.
Here's why. And honestly, here's why. Because then at the end of the movie, in that the worst stinger I've ever seen in a superhero movie, he's back to being Mr. Badass reporter, but with no explanation. They should.
Well, I guess he outed, like he had, I don't know. I guess he outed the bad guy.
Did he? Okay.
Oh, he was right after all. Let's give him his own show back.
Listen, I'll tell you what. They should have just did the final stinger without him at all. That would have made that would have been less confusing for me. They just say, meanwhile, in Alcatraz, and then here you go and show me the worst wig ever on Woody Harrelson.
I was going to ask you, how did you think Woody did?
Holy shit, man. Woody was terrible. I love Woody Harrelson. He was terrible. And that fright wig was garbage. Like, garbage. A 90-year-old Lucille Ball called and said she wanted her wig back.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Mr. Glass, the Samuel Jackson's hairstyle.
Oof.
A little bit. It was the same kind of like cut, but with wider curls in red. Like,
yeah, it was bad. It was really, really bad.
Yeah, it was so bad. So bad. But the sad thing is, this movie made money.
Well, yeah, but
that's what's so depressing about this.
Lots of things make money, but it doesn't make them good.
I'm so disappointed here. Because
but Sony wants to be like, oh, we made like over $200 million our open weekend. Let's make another one.
Yeah,
let's
they're
make,
gonna
make more
Morbius,
movie.
And they're gonna they're gonna do that. They're gonna do Black
Craven.
They're gonna Black do Craven Cat. With Venom.
How do you do Craven without Spider-Man?
Well, they're with as Venom.
How do you do Venom without Venom?
Yeah, because they're gonna have Venom be the Craven last hunt. He's gonna be hunting Venom. It's gonna be terrible.
Oh shit! The bed right there.
Yeah.
No, my wife was asking me. She really wanted to go see Venom because she's a chick and she wants to see Tom Hardy. And she's like, "So where does Spider-Man come in?" And I go, "Well, here's where he comes in the comics. I don't think he comes in at all at the movie. Wait, this isn't a Marvel movie? No." But isn't no, it's not. It's really not. I think Sony sneaked this movie out and made people feel like it was part of the Marvel universe. Am I wrong? Anybody?
Maybe. I haven't really asked anybody like
they want you to think
specifically.
Sure, yeah, they want you to think.
Oh, I'm sure they. We are, of course.
Isn't that the whole point of trademark law?
Yeah, well, Marvel, they're aware of it. I'm sure everything they did is legal and on the up. And right. I guarantee it has to be.
But every time a major corporation sues a small company for shit that doesn't even get this close, isn't it because it might confuse the consumer?
Oh, that's true. Well, I mean, yeah, that is true. But in this case, both the major conglomerates worked on it together. So, there's no boot there because.
Except, doesn't it confuse the consumer into seeing some shit they didn't think they were seeing?
Yeah, well.
Maybe I can only really speculate at that point. Like, I really have to ask around, like, hey.
Well, I can tell you my wife, who's not a big consumer of super shit, assumed that if we went to see this, I'd be stoked because we were seeing a Spider-Man movie, and we weren't.
This is 100% not a Spider-Man movie. There's nothing further from Spider-Man.
Right. Yeah. So isn't the whole point of trademark? Isn't the whole point of all this shit? These big companies sue little companies into inexistence for.
You're right. You're right.
To prevent this shit right here.
You are absolutely right.
Okay.
It's going to go that route, but we're just going to get more shitty movies.
Well, yes, right. But we're going to get more shitty movies by bigger conglomerates who want to fuck us out of our money when they don't want to let a small company even get close to. Look, if you went and made a movie called, Pierre, the Spider-Man of Paris, you get shut the fuck down right away, even if you didn't use anything that looked similar to Spider-Man outside of that name. But two big conglomerates, hey, let's look like we're doing this shit together, and we'll fuck everybody out of their money. Nobody says shit, and nobody gives a fuck, to the point where even people can openly ask you, didn't I just go see a Marvel movie? No, you did not. Yet there was no way to tell. There was no way to tell because they all reached into your pocket and took it out of your pocket and didn't give a shit because they did it in cooperation with each other. This is the shit that makes me angry about large corporations. This is the shit that makes me angry about intellectual properties. This movie right here, this is the thing that makes it hard for a small production company to do something semi-interesting, but a large company can go ahead and just fucking take money right out of your wallet and nobody says shit.
Shit, yep.
Oh, guys, sorry. I didn't even realize I was a little bit angry about that. Totally.
Yeah, man, like, ooh. Well, honestly, this is how DC Comics shut down the original Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Goddamn Fawcett. Right it is.
Exactly why. Yeah, it's how they fucked Fawcett and destroyed mm-hmm. that character for a good couple decades.
And held it up for 30 years mm-hmm. until they finally went, oh, we'll lease it from you. Oh, you're fucking broke. Okay, we'll finally buy it from you. Since we kept you from publishing for 30 years.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was actually totally off the cuff. I didn't realize how angry I was about that idea.
You're not wrong at all.
But that's what I see coming out of that. Well, you know what? Let me ask you this. I didn't mean to go down that path. Do we have anything positive to say about Venom?
It ended.
Yeah, not a single thing.
Yeah. I used my AMC pass, so I didn't pay full price for it.
Oh, well, that's a good thing.
I only paid $5 to watch it.
Yeah, I saw it on IMAX. I saw it with my friend Pablo, so we had a good time.
Oh.
But three quarters of the way in the movie, we just turned to each other and went, holy shit. And it was like the same moment. We were just like, this is fucking bad.
Mm. Well, I'm glad I didn't go see it.
Yeah, you should be. You're a lucky man having to watch that fucking. It's one of the worst superhero movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, so Venom versus Green Lantern.
I enjoyed Green Lantern more.
Wow. Joe?
Like there's zero hesitation with that with me. Because there was parts about that I laughed, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yikes.
Green
Lantern. Green Lantern.
Really?
Yeah, because there was more originality, sort of.
Ooh.
Sort of.
God, you're going to make me say good things about Green Lantern. There was more. Yeah, no. They both suffer similar problems.
Yeah.
You know, they're both similarly disjointed in the narrative storytelling of it. They both take huge leaps of logic, but at least, like, I guess at least Green Lantern had its heart in the right place. Venom just seemed like a fucking cash grab. To cash in on extra dollars that guys haven't spent on Axe body spray.
Actually, I really liked your turn of phrase there. That was that was nice.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Green Lantern was just Sinestro and he had a yellow ring and there was a zero mention of the Green Lanterns? Yeah,
right. Exactly that.
You'd be like, what the hell?
We're gonna see with the Joker movie, and I know we've talked about that before in the past, but that's gonna be the next test of this. Like, if you want to do these spinoff movies, you better goddamn find a compelling reason to tell these stories, not just because we have the license rights to the character and we want to make a fucking story. Because if Silver Sable is like this, and if they do a Morbius movie and it's this level of bullshit, fuck that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I abstained from this movie. You both saw it.
Courteously.
Yes.
Yeah, I had my brother's flight was delayed, and I had nothing else to do in Dallas, so I watched it.
So we can call this three thumbs down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you count one, unless you're allowed to count two of my thumbs.
Yeah.
Well, we'll assume we count two of your thumbs. Mine's a middle because I just abstained. And we're still three thumbs down.
Yeah.
And there weren't that many thumbs involved in the counting.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. And I really am grossed out seeing people online like talk about how awesome it is. No, it's not awesome, guys. It's honestly, you know what it is? It's if you mix the movies Ghost Rider and frankly, either of the Hulk movies, and I like both. I like parts about both the Hulk movies. I do. But if you mixed Ghost Rider and Hulk, that's what this movie is.
Hey, let me ask you, which Ghost Rider movie?
The first one, not even the second one. Not even the fun, batshit, crazy second one.
Yeah, because it was only marginally better than the first.
Yeah, the second one was nuts. But I'm talking about the first one. The cookie cutter-esque aspect of the first one. And then and then make it into a Hulk movie of like a guy battling an inner demon. I like the stuff when he was talking to the symbiote, but they don't even get to that to like 45 minutes into the fucking movie.
You know what? It sounds like Suicide Squad to me, but with one person instead of 143.
Pretty much.
How many people are in that movie? It's a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, recording issues, slow news week. But
While we've been recording, Dennis Hoff from the brothel in Los Angeles, he died.
Did he die at Donald Trump's house?
Yeah, no, but it was after some big political rally. I was as we were chatting here, it came up around my news feed. He just died. So that's one less MAGA head gone.
Yeah. Well, you know. I never like to cheer somebody's death, but oh well. I've seen better people die than that. All right, Joe.
Yes.
Where can people find your show at, man?
Joe on Joe Pod. Go to joeandjoe.com or, you know, find me. I'm on anywhere you get your podcasts. Just find Joe on Joe. It's G.I. Joe. It's awesome.
I hear you've done a couple guest appearances lately.
Yeah, I was on, Launchpad Podcast. I show up places. I do what I can.
He's here and there.
I do what I can.
Yeah. And Paul, I hear you still keep a low profile because of that lawsuit.
Yeah, still. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That thing's been going on for like 84 years. And you still just kind of hang out.
My life is significantly better for it.
Well, that's probably true. Well, everybody else, for Joe Slepsky, for Paul Vieram, and myself, Jeremy Vilmer, bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ciao.